It's Eyes on the Game with Helen Yee, the only female sports host in Las Vegas. Go online to HelenMYee.com and follow on Twitter at Helen Yee Sports on NBC Sports 920 The Game.
What's going on, everyone, on this very hot but gloomy-looking Tuesday? And that's what I've noticed, how Bobby, every time you stare out the door, I'm like, he's either giving me a dirty look or looking at somebody through the door.
No, I'm either tripping or Captain Morgan just walked by.
Oh, Captain Morgan has feet now, huh?
I don't ask me, man. I just, guy walking by in the pirate suit with the patch. I just, oh, look, Captain Morgan, you can leave that in my office. Thank you. Cool.
Okay. Yeah. The best captain ever, right? So.
No, I'd have to go with Kangaroo, but let's not get into that right now.
Okay. Anyway, that joke, again, sometimes with Bobby's jokes, it kind of goes over my head a bit. And
that's okay. Everybody, the three people listening that are over 60 totally know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Well, I'm more than half your age, so I'm sorry. But anyway, actually today on the show, so this past week, it was the ESPYs week and ESPN Humanitarian Awards, which I like to go to LA and cover. I've been covering it for about the last 3 years because... I mean, first off, I love, you know, anything that has to do with giving back to the community, helping, you know, the community and just giving back in general. And especially, you know, with these athletes and for them and organizations for them to donate, you know, so much and help these kids. And David Robinson, which Bobby has probably seen play growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Spurs legend. That's actually another interview I want to play as well. I got a chance to interview him on the red carpet, and I got to talk to him about just the whole Kawhi Leonard situation. And mind you, this was the day before the official, quote-unquote, or hours before the official Kawhi Leonard that trade that happened. So I kind of got David Robinson's thoughts and opinions on that. As far as LeBron's legacy, so we always hear, will LeBron's legacy be affected because he goes on the Lakers? He is constantly moving teams. And will that kind of affect his quote-unquote greatness? And I personally don't think so. And I've had this, I know it's a hot debate, I've had this posted on Twitter before where people kind of come at me and they're like, well, yeah, I mean, he doesn't have this many rings. And I know we've had this heated discussion before months ago, still during the last season. But I got, why not get a Spurs legend or just a legend in general, right? And get his opinion on LeBron going to the Lakers. And then also I asked him, now with it seems to be the Western Conference has been strong. It feels like they've been strong for a while, but I mean, we've had the Cavs, you know, here and there, but it always seems like the Western Conference as of late is obviously the stronger conference. And now the Warriors, they have so many all-stars on their team. It almost seems unfair, right? So I spoke to David Robinson about it, and he gave me some great answers. So I definitely will be playing those interviews. And I also got to interview Stephanie McMahon, Charlotte Flair, Roman Reigns. I don't know if you are a WWE fan like I was growing up. And unfortunately, like I would play those interviews, but they're a bit time sensitive right now because Monday Night Raw just happened. And those interviews were kind of discussing about like Raw and Roman Reigns beating Bobby Lashley. He does have a message to two division world champion, UFC champ, Daniel Cormier. So if you want to check those out, you can go to the website, www.lvsportsnetwork.com. Those interviews are still on there. And I will be playing later on in the show. We have another big fight week. And next week, I will be heading back to LA for UFC 227 because they have that doubleheader where they have two championship title fights between Cody Garbrandt, TJ Dillashaw, that rematch, as well as Henry Cejudo and Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson. So, yeah, I'll be back in LA next week, but don't worry, I'll be here on Tuesday. So I will be playing my interview with Daniel Cormier, who talks about Brock Lesnar and saying that he could fight Jon Jones every single day. Yeah, you heard that. But if you want to hear it from his mouth, I will be playing that quick interview. But so this past weekend on Sunday, so this week is the WNBA, their All-Star break. And so this past weekend, I did cover the LV Aces game. They did beat the Indiana Fever 88-74. And so right now, I believe they are on track to being eighth place.
Which is a playoff spot.
Yes. Yeah, of course. But for those who didn't know, yeah, a playoff spot, which is huge. And so Kayla McBride, the Aces' own, will be participating in the WNBA three-point contest going down this Saturday, July 28th, and it tips at 12:30 p.m. Pacific time. And that whole event this weekend is taking place at Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota. But speaking of more basketball, and before I tell you who I ended up seeing at that game and got an interview with, this week I will also be covering USA basketball. Their mini camp goes down on Thursday and Friday, so stay tuned and always stay tuned to the website for exclusive interviews and coverage. Once again, lvsportsnetwork.com. But like I said, I will be getting some interviews there. And unfortunately, I know everybody always tells me, hey, Helen, you talk about LeBron. Like Jay Cutler, four-time Mr. Olympia. I ran into him while having sushi. And he even comes up to me and he's like, Helen, man, you love LeBron, huh?
No.
I swear. Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Complete falsehoods. Absolutely untrue.
Right.
I don't know where this sort of thing comes from.
Fake news. LeBron who, right? But unfortunately, LeBron will not be taking part in the mini camp, so I won't be able to do any LeBron coverage. But hey, I'll be in LA next week, so who knows, right? And I do want to talk about the UFC fights this weekend, but like I said, at the Aces game, so Aces, they're doing very well lately, but another person, a significant person who's a big fan of the Aces and was at a lot of the Golden Knights games, so it was funny, I bump into him in the hallway in the back, and he comes up to me, he shakes my hand, he's like, oh, hi, you know, I introduced myself, and he looks at me smiling, he's like, oh, you know, I've seen your videos, like, I think I've read some of your work, too, you know, I love your coverage, and I was like, wait, did Mark Davis just say that to me, like, so that was pretty surreal for a moment, I will admit that. But then after, you know, he was very generous and nice enough to give me an interview. And so I got an interview with the Raiders owner, Mark Davis, who talks about Vegas fans, Oakland, Golden Knights, Aces, and so much more. So here's my interview with Mark Davis. Helen Yee here with Eyes on the Game. I am here at Mandalay Bay after the Aces game. They just defeated the Fever, being joined by the man of the hour, Mr. Mark Davis, the always popular. Good to see you here.
Hi, Helen. How are you?
Good. So the Aces just won. And first off, though, I've seen you at quite a few of these games. Can you kind of talk about, you know, what your experience has been like here and your thoughts on the Aces?
Well, since opening night, I've been to about six games now. Whenever my schedule permits, I come to see it. We look at the Aces as our sisters in bringing professional sports to Las Vegas. And The progress that they've made since the beginning of the year is really evident. They're playing really good as a team together. They're winning some games. It's the All-Star break now, and they got a shot at the playoffs.
Yes.
And also, I've seen you at Golden Knights games. So they had such a historic year. What were your thoughts on that?
Again, it was another thing where we look at the Knights as our brothers in bringing professional sports to Las Vegas. And the story of the Knights is something that I don't know that you'll ever see again. It was just so inspirational from the very beginning. Again, it was at the opening game when they did the tribute to the to 10-1. And then from that point on, they did what really, something that my father said that you have to do, and that's just win. And they won, but beyond that, they did so much good work in the community and everything else. And I think that's something that we learned from, and we're excited to be a part of.
Yeah, and speaking of doing so much for the community, you guys recently gave back and are helping build homes for veterans, right?
Yes, we are. And as I said before, when we were working on coming here to Las Vegas, that Las Vegas and Nevada aren't getting just a football team that plays on Sundays, that you're going to get us 365 days a year. And it's like an army that'll be coming to town, as you'll see in the next couple of years, with the veterans and the current players and the alumni and everybody else. We really do get into the community and work hard behind the scenes and everything else. And that's what you get when you get the Raiders.
Yes. And, I mean, we only have a little more time to wait. I know everyone's, you know, anticipating and getting very anxious. But, like I said, you've been here at the Aces and the Golden Knights games. I'm curious to know, what are your thoughts as far as the enthusiasm from the Las Vegas fan base to the professional teams?
Well, if I said I was surprised by it, I would be not telling you the truth, because we did a lot of studying to see what was here, and we knew that there was a fan base here.
Yeah.
But you're not going to just—they're just not going to give you their hearts and souls. You got to earn it, and that's what I keep saying: is we're going to come here and earn it. But the potential in this valley is just unbelievable. We're just so excited about it. But at the same time, you know, we still have a couple of years left in Oakland. We're trying to bring a championship there. And the fans there are some of the best in the world as well. And so hopefully everything's going to work out. Just
yeah, absolutely.
Well, every season you want to go out and win the championship. And that's the goal every year. You have to be realistic. But at the same time, when you start the season, you have hope that you've put together the ingredients to be able to get that done. And we're excited about what we've got. No promises, but, you know, John Gruden is back in the house. Reggie McKenzie is, you know, doing a great job with the personnel. And right now it feels really good, but you have to go out and do it on Sundays.
Yes. And that will be happening very soon. And lastly, because, I mean, every time I drive by, and I'm sure you drive by and you see how quickly the stadium is progressing, it is set, you know, it is on schedule. But has anything surprised you as far as the whole process so far?
I guess the public-private partnership that has been put together to do this is something that's pretty amazing to me. I've never seen it work so well. I'm just thankful for the process as it's gone so far, and I believe the steel is coming in this week, and we're going to start going vertical with the stadium, and it's just really exciting.
And it's so cool to see as well. And what about some expectations for this upcoming season, though still in Oakland, but, you know, what are your thoughts?
Again, like I said, we're out there to try to bring a championship, and that's, you know, that's the number one goal. And other than that, that's it.
Yeah, I'm
just
like,
win, baby.
Yeah. Hey, you took the words right out of my mouth.
I did, didn't I?
Yes. So that was my interview with Mark Davis. But don't worry, because I will be trying my best to get you the most updated and current Las Vegas Raiders updates. It will all be on lvsportsnetwork.com. You can always follow me and tweet me on Twitter at Helen Yee Sports. And per Bobby, because I know this is one of Bobby's favorites, later on in the show, I will play the Stephanie McMahon interview from this past week as well.
Oh, cool.
So stay tuned. You're listening to Eyes on the Game.
Now back to Eyes on the Game with Helen Yee, the only female sports host in Las Vegas. Go online to HelenMYee.com and follow on Twitter at Helen Yee Sports on NBC Sports 920 The Game.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back. Like I said, big news here. I'm just reading something about Cleveland, but or the Cavs or Kevin Love. I guess it might take me 3 seconds to adjust to the fact that LeBron James is not going to be in a Cavs jersey anymore, and he's playing in the Western Conference. But what's more weird is, has anybody seen Tony Parker in that Hornets uniform?
I don't know about any of that. All I know is I have to come up with a sound effect now for every time you mention LeBron. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's got to be something good.
A shot of water. LeBron.
Every time LeBron, bing, you know, I'm just
how many times?
I'm looking for that perfect little ping kind of sound effect that I want to go
with. Wait, what do I get if I have a show and I don't mention LeBron at all?
It's called The Vacation.
Okay.
Well, you want something for that, for not mentioning LeBron in 54 minutes? What would you like, dear?
Yeah.
Just don't say a LeBron jersey. That kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so, but anyway,
LeBron, if you're a basketball fan,
which Bobby's not, which I know
a Celtic
baseball
fan. What are you talking about? I'm totally a Celtic fan. You know that.
Yeah, but only Celtic. So you don't understand my reference right now about Tony Parker wearing that Hornets jersey. It literally seems like an April Fool's joke.
Oh, I know, because he's been a Spur for 153 years. I know. I understand that. But
for 153.
Well, yeah, he's like, what, 172, isn't he?
Yeah, I feel like, is it the curious case of Benjamin Button?
I mean, bleeping, Tony Park was around for the original Bastille Day. You know what I mean?
This is just so weird to see him. Look, have you seen this photo? And he looks like
he's wearing a Halloween costume.
It does. Yeah. Like, I really don't.
For April Fools, I'm a Charlotte Hornet or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
But here's the thing. I don't know how I feel about Charlotte Hornets colors in general.
You got to move on.
But, you know, I can't move on, though.
Sure you can.
It's a dilemma.
It's Tony Parker. It's not LeBron James. It was LeBron James wearing Charlotte Hornet colors.
But Tony Parker was supposed to be a Spur forever.
Yeah, well, that's not the reality of 21st century sports. You know, Bobby Orr was supposed to be a Bruin forever. Didn't work out that way.
LeBron James
was supposed to be a Cleveland Cavalier, and it didn't work out that way twice.
That's a funny thing about life.
Kobe Bryant was drafted originally by the Charlotte Hornets. I don't think he even played a game with them.
That is funny. Wow.
I remember when Chauncey Billups was drafted by the Boston Celtics. He never played a game with them either. Or either.
True. You're right. But
speaking of legendary basketball players.
Yeah, speaking of legendary basketball players, someone who is kind of upset about the Tony Parker move, none other than Bobby, if you want to put the interview of Spurs legend David Robinson. Helen Yee here, being joined by Spurs legend David Robinson. Now, congratulations. You are receiving the Stuart Scott Inspire Award tonight at the ESPN Sports Humanitarian Awards. So, first off, how do you feel about that?
Well, it's an honor. I mean, Stuart Scott is an ESPN legend, and not only because of his journalism, but because of the man he showed himself to be, you know, during the last days of his life. The family that he's raised, everything that he stood for, and he was thinking about others even up until the last day. And so, you know, that's what I want to represent.
Now, being an NBA legend, obviously so much has happened so far in this offseason. Yeah. And, I mean, first off, LeBron James, the big news. Did that surprise you at all that, he's in L.A. now?
Not overly. I mean, you know, for a guy like him who's achieved a lot, this kind of seems like a good place for him to end up. He has business here. He loves it here. This is a big stage. It's kind of the right stage for him. So, yeah, I mean, it made sense. Made a lot of sense. I mean, obviously they got some young players and they've got a little bit of a hill to climb, but he's the right guy to teach those guys.
But what do you think about so many people out there who are saying, you know what, LeBron's moved so many teams? Like,
he's just been amazing. At the age he is, to put up the kind of numbers and perform the way he's performed is really ridiculous. So I think it's going to be hard to take anything away from his legacy. If anything, he's only going to add to it here. Especially if he's able to kind of pass on some of that great knowledge and work ethic to these young guys and help transform this team into next level team. Even if they don't win a championship, that's going to be super valuable for this organization.
But what do you think about now with the Western Conference, you know, having so many great teams? And obviously we saw the other All-Star addition to the Warriors. Yeah. I mean, what do you think now about the West versus the East and how competitive it is now?
Yeah, I mean, the East has been a little bit weaker than the West for a while now, but that's a cycle. You know, when I came in the league, everybody said the East was stronger, but it cycles back and forth. But right now, all the power is out here West, and especially with LeBron coming out here, we're going to, you know, just beat each other up out here, and the team that comes out of the West is probably going to be the favorite again. It's a cycle. It's just the way things are. Right now, if you want to get to the finals, you want to be playing in the East.
Yeah. Oh, true. Or you want to be on the Warriors. What do you think about about them having so many All-Stars? And I mean, they've been getting a little heat for it, but what do you think?
You know what? The thing I appreciate about the Warriors is that they built their team the right way. You know, they drafted some good guys. They've brought up some good guys. They've stuck with their guys. Aside from Kevin Durant coming over, I mean, they've built a team organically, and it's been fantastic. I applaud them for what they've done. They've set a standard now that all these other teams better step up or they're just going to continue to get pounded. And so, you know, you saw Houston tried to do it, and Houston was right there. They had opportunity. It's not like Golden State is unbeatable. They're just very, very good, and they're very experienced. But you put together a good team, you could get them. And I think teams are aware of that, and they're setting a standard to make everyone else step up.
And then also being, on the Spurs, what do you think about Kawhi Leonard and his whole ordeal and situation?
Whole ordeal. I wish I understood what his ordeal was. I mean, it's tough. Obviously we thought Kawhi was kind of the next generation of leader, superstar for us, and obviously that's not panned out, and we're still hoping that it can work out, but it's disappointing. I mean, we love him in San Antonio. You don't just find guys like that. I mean, he's a phenomenal player. He's a difference maker, and so losing him would be devastating for us. But that being said, you don't always have control. I mean, sometimes people don't want that responsibility. Who wants to follow in Tim Duncan's footsteps? I mean, that's a tough thing to do, right? It's a big responsibility, and not everybody wants to do that. So, if he wants to make the move, obviously our team has to honor that.
Yeah, and Tony Parker's gone now, too.
Yeah, well, that's that one's a painful one for me. Tony's been such a big part of what we've done for a long time, and, I mean, he's... And when I think of Spurs, I mean, I think of him and Manu and Tim. And, yeah, I mean, they're just – that's who we are. And so to see him leave hurts. But that's a part – I mean, as the league has been changing for years. You know, we just haven't been changing. But now it's time for us to change.
And lastly, because I am from Las Vegas and we are growing in Major League Sports, we have the Golden Knights, the Raiders are coming, we have the Aces. Yeah. Do you think that pretty soon we'll see an NBA team there?
Wow, good question. Don't know. That's a great question. I think there's obviously quite a few cities that would like an NBA team, but obviously Las Vegas is one of those places that needs to be considered. So, who knows? I don't think the NBA is in that much of a hurry to expand. You know, we really need to take care of the cities that are working right now, but certainly one of the places we got to consider.
So let me know your thoughts. You can always tweet me at Helen Yee Sports. Now, when I get back from this break, I will play my interview with Stephanie McMahon, which they made a huge announcement, another historic announcement about the first ever all-women's pay-per-view. So before that happened, Stephanie did tease that announcement to me, but she talks about women empowerment, and I know that's something she's very passionate about, and Ronda Rousey and so much more. And I have the champ, Daniel Cormier. I also caught him on the red carpet as well, so I will play both those interviews and talk about the upcoming UFC card and the one tonight, the Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series, and who hopes to make history on there. So stay tuned. You're listening to Eyes on the Game.
Now back to Eyes on the Game with Helen Yee, the only female sports host in Las Vegas. Go online to HelenMYee.com and follow on Twitter at Helen Yee Sports on NBC Sports 920 The Game.
What's up, Bobby?
Hi.
Oh, how Bobby, how's baseball season going?
For me, pretty good. I'm a Red Sox fan. It's going great.
Good. Any updates you'd like to talk about before I play the Stephanie McMahon? Or
play Stephanie McMahon. Sox are up like 6 games on the Yankees. That's all that matters.
Yeah, as long as Bobby's teams are winning, he's happy.
Well, there's
if
other
he's
things
happy,
in my world,
I'm happy.
There's other things in my world that are much more important than that. But yeah, it's good to know.
Like a good pizza, which I haven't had in about 2 weeks.
You can call it pizza if you like. That's fine. Okay, sure.
Okay, well, speaking of good pizza, good trips. Oh, and did I tell you I finally learned how to surf? I can't believe I didn't talk about this yet.
And you didn't get eaten by a shark.
Oh my gosh. I forgot to talk about this. So right. Uh-oh. Okay, before I play the Stephanie McMahon interview, only because I feel like it's one of those life achievements, right?
Not getting eaten by a shark? I've done that for 55 years. I haven't got eaten by a shark once.
That I stood up on a surfboard. Isn't that amazing?
All by yourself? Nobody holding your hand
no.
or nothing? In the real water, too, not like in a pond?
In the ocean on a wave. I was just sad because the instructor was in the water, too. Obviously, I don't have a waterproof phone case, but the only thing that I wanted recorded was me standing on a board. But, I mean, I guess next time I could do it, too. But
oh, totally. Yeah, yeah. I mean, now that you've done it, you can do it again.
I can't believe I stood up on a surfboard. It took me about wiping out the first 15 times, and then I finally learned how to stand up, because you have to find your balance and figure it out. But I'm just so proud.
It's like most things in life, you find the balance, and then, you know.
That is true. Life is about balance. Wise words, Bobby. But anyway, I'm just so excited because that's what I wanted to do for the past few years, and I finally learned how to stand up.
Well, congratulations.
My first time ever.
No, that's really cool. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, actually, second.
You had a life goal and you have achieved it.
Yeah, life personal goal. Yeah, I divide my goals. But anyway, so speaking of goals, this woman managed to continue to create history with women in the WWE. It is the WWE Chief Brand Officer, Stephanie McMahon. And I spoke to her on the red carpet this past week during ESPYs week. So here's my interview. Helen Yee here with Eyes on the Game. And as always, I love being here in July at the ESPN Sports Humanitarian Awards because I'm always being joined by the lovely Stephanie McMahon. Always great to see you here.
Great to see you. It's wonderful to be back.
Yes.
And of course, we've got Roman Reigns, WWE Superstar Roman Reigns, right over your shoulder.
I know.
For the background.
He has a big match next week.
On purpose, right?
Oh, yeah. Girl, you know me too well. So first off, though, how does it feel to be back? And like I said, it's always great to see you here annually.
Well, thank you. This is one of my favorite events of the year because it's the opportunity where we get to celebrate giving back to the community. And I don't think that that happens often enough.
And I love how you do such a great job, you know, with giving back, and the WWE does such a great job with that. But also I talked to Charlotte, too, about the women empowerment, and I know you brought that up last year, too. And, you know, there's been so many historic female matches within this past year. So can you kind of talk about the continued growth of women's WWE?
Oh, absolutely. We actually call it the women's evolution because, you know, our women have evolved from the Divas division to the women's division, from being being secondary and tertiary type characters to becoming the main event. We signed Rowdy Ronda Rousey, one of the world's greatest athletes, male or female. And, you know, I've told this story, but this past December in Abu Dhabi, for the first time ever, our women were allowed to perform. And they had to change their gear, you know, their costumes, so only their hands and their head was exposed. But the entire arena, both men and women, started chanting, "This is hope. This is hope." And Sasha Banks talked about seeing tears in the eyes of a little girl in the front row. And that is what the women's evolution is all about.
I love, you know, what you've done with it. And, I mean, it just gives me goosebumps.
And what they do with it,
yes,
right? Because
absolutely.
They have taken every opportunity. They've made the opportunity. And every time they do, they steal the spotlight. They steal the show. Our women are amazing.
Absolutely. And speaking of one in particular, like you mentioned, because I know last year when I spoke to you, you wanted to sign Ronda, and then it all happened.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so,
and then I wound up wrestling her at WrestleMania.
And funny how the world works. Right?
Yeah.
So can you kind of talk about, you know, what it means to now have her in the WWE full time and, you know, just what she brings to you guys?
Absolutely. I think Ronda is going to help us escalate the women's evolution to yet another level. And I think there's actually no ceiling, no limit. There's nothing we can't do together. Ronda brings a completely new audience. She brings young girls, young women. She brings men. And Ronda is just so talented. I mean, she's so gifted, not only as an athlete, but as a performer, as an entertainer, and by the way, as a human being. She's one of the greatest people I've ever met. And in fact, all of our superstars are just such amazing people with huge hearts, which is why they do all of this community work. Because it's what they want to do. It's not a part of their contractual obligation, and it's the best part of their jobs from what they tell me.
Yeah, and I mean, I can definitely agree with that. There's the best thing in the world is giving back and
That's what it's all about.
Yes.
And WWE's mission is to put smiles on other people's faces, and there is no greater feeling in this world than putting the smile on a face of a child who really needs it, you know?
Circling back to Ronda, though, did anything surprise you at all, you know, from watching her and progress with the organization?
Well, I was mostly on the fear side because her very first match in WWE was at WrestleMania against me, right? So, yeah, I was more just on the shock and awe.
Really?
Yeah. I was a little, maybe. I had good reason. But she was awesome. She's a pro. You know, she's just incredible.
And for the WWE Universe and fans, what can they expect from you guys for the rest of the year?
Well, you're going to have to stay tuned. We've got a big announcement coming up.
And if you do follow WWE, they did announce that yesterday was the first ever, or not yesterday, but they announced yesterday that they will be having the first ever all women's pay-per-view. So congratulations. And also to Stephanie for, you know, helping pave the way for, you know, women's opportunities in pro wrestling. Growing up, I grew up in the Trish Stratus and Lita era. That was actually some of my favorite women's matches. And they, at one point, funny story, they made me start wanting to become a women's wrestler or pro wrestler. Because I was so entertained and loved how cool they looked in the ring, you know, and they were so skillful. And
this was years after the Fabulous Moolah.
Yeah, I wasn't around yet. Fabulous Moolah.
Moolah was not the glamorous type, let's just say.
And who was the other ones?
Well, there was a woman named Mae Young, but I didn't remember her so well.
Rena Mero, Brock Lesnar's wife now.
Is she really?
Yeah. Sable.
She's married to Brock Lesnar now?
Yes.
What happened to Mark Merrill?
I have no idea. They divorced.
I guess.
And I would not mess with Brock Lesnar. Unless you're Daniel Cormier.
I wouldn't. God almighty. I mean, if Sable's got to be like 104 at this point. Jesus, God.
Yeah, she's...
I'm not going to get into that.
Okay, whatever. Yeah, just I won't. Please don't get into it on this show.
Jesus.
But it was just announced UFC 230, Yoel Romero and Paulo Costa, the rising star. They will be fighting November 3rd at Madison Square Garden. And this week, we should kind of have a final update to see what is going on with Conor McGregor, his whole ordeal, and what happened in April. He has his final hearing. So after that, hopefully, we'll be able to see whether or not or when he will be expected back in the octagon. But according to his social media, I mean, it looks like he's training and has been training. So we will keep an eye on that. But like I mentioned, Brock Lesnar, he's verbally expecting to face Daniel Cormier. And I mean, Dana White has confirmed it. Daniel Cormier wants it. So that, if all goes according to plan, that should be Daniel Cormier's final fight before retirement. And I spoke to Daniel Cormier this past week, so here's my interview with him. Helen Yee here with Eyes on the Game, and I'm here at the ESPN Sports Humanitarian Awards being joined by the champ, Daniel Cormier, the light heavyweight and UFC heavyweight champion. Congratulations, fresh off your win. First off, how does it feel 1 week later?
Oh, it feels great. I mean, outside of my hand still bothering me, the reality of it hasn't truly set in yet. You know, it's such a big accomplishment, and I'm just so lucky to be able to do it.
Now, you mentioned your hand. What happened, and how long will you be out for?
I broke it. They said 2 months before with no surgery, no cast. So 2 months before I can start to train again and get ready to go.
Now, we know after your last fight, I mean, Brock Lesnar obviously came in the ring. We know that's what you want next. But in the light heavyweight division, I mean, is there a particular opponent that you want? I mean, aside from probably John Jones.
Yeah, right? I mean, I don't know. You know, there's really no one has truly separated themselves at light heavyweight yet for a title fight. I think Alexander Gustafsson has a real strong opportunity to do that next month in Los Angeles. So we'll see what happens. But outside of Jones, I don't know.
And how bad would you want that rematch or trilogy with Jones?
I would love to. I mean, yeah. I could fight him every single day.
More than Brock Lesnar?
I want to fight Brock Lesnar, too. He pushed me. He shouldn't have pushed me.
And lastly, about Brock, though, what do you think is the biggest, you know, challenge he would possess in there? Wrestling, obviously?
Or? Yeah, wrestling, strength. He's a big guy. He's much bigger than I am, but I feel like I match up well against him.
So that was my interview with Daniel Cormier, and I will be doing more interviews this week, primarily focused on USA Basketball, their mini camp, and maybe I'm trying to get something worked out, maybe LaVar Ball. Does that sound weird to say it on air? LaVar Ball. We haven't heard about the BBB, right?
Wait. Did you say you're going to try to get him on the air?
Yes, cool. In all interview. Right.
Okay, you just let me know that day. That's where I'm going to take the day off.
Oh, no, I will go find him, okay. And then I will play it on the show next week. That's if good. Available. If not, though, I will be doing USA Basketball. And tonight, Dana White's Tuesday night contender series, and basically the guy to look out for, Nick Newell. His record's 14-1, and he was actually one of my very first interviews before I even started radio, when I would write about MMA fighters and whatnot for this website called Combat Lifestyle. He was one of the feature pieces that I did. Very nice guy. But some people might say, well, is he fighting with a bit of a disadvantage? His record's 14-1, and his only loss comes from Justin Gaethje, who we all see. Justin Gaethje, he's supposed to fight James Vick next month on, let me double check. Yeah, now he's fighting James Vick August 25th. But so Nick Newell fights tonight, Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series. And he is a fighter, a really good fighter, but just happens to have one arm. So, or okay. One hand.
He can kick your ass with one hand, though.
Yes. So, hopefully, we'll see what goes down tonight. I will be providing coverage, and it'll all be on lvsportsnetwork.com. And then another good card coming up this weekend, UFC on Fox, Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier. that lightweight bout. And then in the co-main event, Jose Aldo, Jeremy Stephens, and women's strawweight, Joanna Jacek and Tisha Torres. So, man, this is a great card. And then lightweight, Alex Hernandez and Olivier Albin Mercier. I probably butchered the last name. I'm sorry.
No, that's probably pretty close, actually.
Yeah, but no, I'm looking at the entire card, and there's some really good fights on here. So I'm excited. But as far as predictions, well, what I'm really curious to see is how Jose Aldo, how well he's recovered since having those back-to-back losses against Max Holloway, where both rounds or both fights he was stopped in the third round. But we know Max Holloway, young, durable, hungry, well-rounded, great striking. And I'm curious because so before that, Jose Aldo beat Frankie Edgar, UFC 200. And then before that, it was that infamous 13-round knockout or 13-second knockout by Conor McGregor that kind of truly catapulted Conor McGregor into super, super stardom. And, well, Floyd Mayweather as well. But to get him that fight with Floyd Mayweather, you know, it was all that buildup and everything. So I'm interested to see where Jose Aldo's mind is and can he come back? Because Jeremy Stephens, a tough guy, great fighter as well, and definitely a brawler. And also former champion in Joanna Jacek and the exciting fighters in Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier. So I will be watching that card closely. And don't forget, there's 51s games this weekend, which I'll definitely be checking those out. And again, it is the Aces are having a break, WNBA All-Star break, but you'll see some of your favorite players competing there this weekend. But you can always check out everything on lvsportsnetwork.com. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Helen Yee Sports. I finally went to the lake yesterday. The weather's been not the brightest, literally. No pun intended, right? But it was finally hot yesterday. I could only stay out there for like 20 seconds, but it was fun paddleboarding. But anyway, so I will see you or talk to you next Tuesday. Have a beautiful day.